I'd like us to talk just a little bit about the Battle of the Somme, in which 168th Infantry Brigade, where you were serving with at this time, took part. I gather there had been a good deal of build-up earlier in the year in preparation for this major operation of 1916. What kind of build-up activities had you personally been engaged in?
The troops did training out of the line before the 1st of July, and this involved making dummy trenches, well, just or marking out trench lines, our own front line, and the skeletons of the German trenches we were going to attack. And they were rehearsed in forming up and in advancing in attack formation to attack the German trenches, so that they knew intimately each unit where and how it was going to carry out the attack.
What kind of infantry attack formations were practiced during that period?
At that time, moving in small columns of a few men separated at intervals, sections or half sections, let's say, three or four men in a little column, and then a few yards away, another little column, and a few yards away, another little column.
I see.
And the same then, the support line in the same sort of formation. In reserve lines further back in the same sort of formation.
That gives a rather different impression than a lot of the sort of popular history books, which talk about British lines advancing shoulder to shoulder and getting mown down because they hadn't yet learnt to react to the great increase in firepower which
Well,
the Germans employed.
in 1914 and 1915, they did advance in shoulder to shoulder line, but as a result of the casualties which occurred from the enemy machine gun fire, these different formations were taken up to avoid the great casualties from principally from machine gun fire.
Yes. Were there any extensive infantry, sorry, artillery rehearsals for the Somme battle?
The artillery had plenty of experience in putting down barrage fire on German trench lines, and but there was no opportunity of doing that sort of thing in conjunction with infantry training behind the line. But we were satisfied that the artillery, generally speaking, knew how to and could put down a barrage wherever the plans demanded, and could move this barrage forward in accordance with the requirements of the advancing infantry.
Almost every major British attack one reads about during the course of the First World War is kind of prefaced by the remark that, and it was the largest artillery barrage to date. It seemed to happen with every major operation, and clearly it was something which occurred at the Battle of the Somme as well. Was the scale of the artillery barrage notable, do you think, as an observer of it?
The artillery support increased because as the war went on, more and more artillery became available because the higher command recognized that at that time the one thing that would help the attack to get forward was an intense barrage on the German trenches. Of course, just after this period, when the tanks appeared, they made a vast difference to the assistance to the infantry to advance. But it is a fact that as the time, as the war went on, the barrages did increase in intensity year by year.
Could you describe for me what happened on your sector of the front on the opening day of the Somme battle? What do you remember of it?
We were on the left flank of the whole of the Somme battlefield. There was one division attacking on our left round the corner of the Gommecourt salient. Unfortunately for us, that divisional attack failed completely. They hardly succeeded in getting out of their front line trench because the German counter barrage was so intense that the troops were unable to advance. In consequence, we became the flank attack of the whole of the Somme battlefield, and the result was that the German counter barrage and counter machine gun fire of a very big sector on the left, on our left of the battlefield, was concentrated on our front, both artillery, hostile artillery and hostile machine gun fire. And as a result, we had very heavy casualties. But this didn't prevent us from capturing the German trenches on the whole of our divisional front.
Could you describe the scene during which that was achieved from the time in which the infantry went over? I believe your example, you use smoke to support the infantry attack. Could you give me a picture of how it developed?
Yes, we used smoke candles. The wind was favourable, and we used smoke candles, which were put up on our own front line trench parapets and lit by the infantry, by people separate from the attacking infantry, a short time before the attack was to start. And this smoke blew towards the German trenches so as to screen our attacking infantry from the observation of the German machine gunners. Of course, in spite of this, the German machine gunners had their machine guns laid on fixed lines to repel any trench-to-trench attack, and the German artillery again obviously had their artillery organized so as to be able to put down a fixed barrage in the event of an attack, so that although the smoke undoubtedly upset to some extent the German defensive infantry fire and to some extent their machine gun fire, it didn't stop us from having very heavy casualties, the leading battalions who led our attack.
Now, during the early stages of the Somme battle, you were personally engaged in carrying out artillery observation work. Could you tell me how that came about and what your job precisely was?
I was brigade major of one of the attacking infantry brigades, and as such we had a headquarters up near the front line trenches in a small dugout which we'd specially constructed, and with an artillery observation post for our forward artillery observation officer, who came up to the front with us the evening before the attack, and he started in this little observation post, which had a protected roof to it. And when the battle started, he was up in this, ready to direct artillery fire after the initial barrage had stopped. Well, unfortunately, a German shell obviously, perhaps just a stray shell in their barrage, blew the top off this observation post and killed the artillery observation officer. As a result of this, I had to go up into the trench and carry out the duties of artillery observation officer for the rest of that day's fighting. And that is how I had to call down into the dugout and transmit messages to the artillery headquarters, which was some little way back, and they were telephoned through by the staff, by my staff captain, any alterations in the artillery fire that we required.
Yes. Were you actually, as an observation officer at that time, making recommendations about how the artillery barrages should be altered to...
Oh, yes.
I presume that once the initial barrage had been completed, the basic problem or the basic function of the artillery was that it was drawn upon to be used against specific strong points which may have been causing the advance difficulties.
Yes, or against German counterattacks. One of the big things I remember was, of course, my brigadier was down in the dugout below, and anything that required reference to him, I would shout down and get his approval of orders to the artillery commander, or he would give orders to the artillery commander. But one of the big things I remember was when the Germans began to launch their a big counterattack against our troops in the German front and support trenches, which we had captured, they were obviously starting a very heavy bombing attack. I could see the bombs starting to be thrown, and I gave directions for several batteries of our artillery to be concentrated on the German communication trench, down which swarms of German troops were coming, and from what I could see of them, they were obviously bombers. They had bags with, and I could see them picking out bombs and starting to throw them. And our artillery was most skillfully directed and completely destroyed this German counterattack.
So the accuracy of the artillery fire required for an operation like that, where the Germans and the British soldiers were operating against each other in the quite close confines of a trench system, the degree of accuracy must have been really critical.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I can remember having to send a message back by the telephone to say that some of the artillery shells were going too far to the left. Of course, I didn't know which batteries were doing this, but the artillery commander, of course, most certainly had his own OPs further, his own observation posts further back. When I drew attention to this, undoubtedly he could correct whichever battery hadn't got its fire just right.
I see. Now, after the initial attack, the brigade losses were, as you've already told us, quite substantial, and you had to withdraw to rear areas to reorganize the force, which had been heavily cut up. What exactly was involved in this process of reorganization, your rather shattered brigade?
Oh, after the Battle of Gommecourt was over, the 56th Division was withdrawn from the line, having had very heavy casualties, and was supplied with reinforcements from the base, and some of our battalions had reinforcements outnumbered what was left of the original battalions. And of course, we had some weeks of training to, although these reinforcements were trained soldiers, they'd been trained in England, but they had no experience of active warfare, and so we had some weeks of training to put them in the picture of the active warfare, type of warfare they were going to be faced with. And the other drawback was that our original division were all Londoners, and many of them, some of the battalions, were all men of considerable education, and they were, some of them, filled up with countrymen, excellent material, but quite different stamp and education from the men of the original battalion. So that took a bit of time to get them trained and working together.
In integrating these new components into your force, drawing to their attention the kind of operations they were going to be involved with on the battlefield, which they wouldn't have been aware of, having come over fresh from England, how did you actually sort of indoctrinate them into the kind of problems they'd have to face? Was this a process done purely by lecture and talk, or could you use practical demonstrations as well?
Oh, a lot of it is done with actual work in the field, let's say in the rear areas. There were trench systems, and they were trained in how to occupy trenches for defence, and in how to form up and attack from one trench system to attack another trench system. Because, of course, at that time it was all trench warfare.